BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, increasingly in the news, we are hearing about the development of vaccine passports. Here's how it's reported by the Daily Wire. Similar to a mobile airline boarding pass, individuals will be able to either print out their pass or store it on their smartphones using the Excelsior Pass wallet app, said a press release about the program. Each pass will have a secure QR code, which participating businesses and venues could scan using a companion app to verify proof of COVID-19 negative test results or proof of vaccination. An individual's data is kept secure and confidential at all times. Well, ladies and gentlemen, is this a matter of security and confidence, or is it a matter of concern? Joining us today, we welcome back Gary Ka, the founder and director of Hope for the World. Gary is the former Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana state government, also was involved as a trade specialist there in Europe as well, Europe and Middle East. In 1987, he was invited to join the World Constitution Parliament Association, and one of the organizations involved at the forefront was promoting world government and the world government agenda. Well, during the next years to come, Gary uncovered documents that demonstrated the push toward a one-world government, active and rapidly advancing. And, folks, we are seeing the fruits of that today. Gary's an author of En Route to Global Occupation, The New World Religion. He is a studier of the times as far as the matters that are going on, and also provides warnings to our nation as well as to where we are headed. Gary, good to have you back with us.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
You know, Gary, it seems so much has happened since you were last on the program. Our topic then was world government gains traction. That traction is not letting up, is it?
No, it isn't. Things keep moving right along. Mm-hmm. It may seem for a week or so that we reach a little bit of a lull and that things are going to turn, and then some big announcement is made, and it's clear now that the globalists are not just using this as a test or a trial run. They're going for all the marbles. I mean, this is it. They're pushing. This is the final push to make it happen.
Well, Gary, we've got so many directions we could go today, but I remember when you were with us last fall in this series of meetings, and even on the air and an article you wrote, you were warning that such a thing as vaccination passports were coming. And now, Gary, they're here. I mean, we've got the New York State being the first to implement this vaccine passport. They're calling it the Excelsior Pass. Share with us about this.
Well, no surprise there. I thought that New York or California would probably be out front. I think this is going to be a type of, I don't want to say trial run, because they've decided they're going to do this, but they'll work out any bugs as a result of New York introducing this passport. They'll monitor how people react, what maybe to tweak to make it more acceptable to people around the country. The interesting thing is the contrast between, say, Florida and New York. Florida has really opened up. DeSantis has said, you know, there's not going to be a health passport down there, and mm-hmm. he's come out strong against a lot of this. And Cuomo in New York is, he's determined to make this happen and to be out front on everything, and he's willing to take any necessary heat for being out front. He doesn't care.
Well, we do know that this is a stage-setting event for that which is to come, Gary. But one thing that's interesting, I mean, there's discussion also on linking all of these together so that, you know, one venue doesn't use one app, another venue another app. That sounds kind of interesting too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and again, this has been in the making for a long time. Bill Gates especially has had his hands in all the different areas of technology that are now coming together. Linking biometric digital identity systems with vaccination records and a payment system. In fact, there is an experiment now that has begun in West Africa where they're testing all of this. And this is the future. I mean, this could be within a year if things go exactly as planned by the globalists, maybe a few years if things don't go exactly as planned. But like I said, unless something earth-shattering happens, unless God does a miracle at this point, and people take a stand like never before and very quickly, I think we're going to see this unfold very, very rapidly in a way that to us is predictable, but to the world as a whole, you know, they just don't realize what the agenda is behind this.
You know, what is the agenda behind it?
Well, global government for one thing, but with it a world economic system where the payment system is completely controlled. In other words, if you don't take the vaccine or whatever they say you need, you're going to be shut out. And, you know, that's going to give full control to type of global dictatorship. But the irony in all this is they're doing it in the name of democracy. They have to protect us from ourselves, in other words. So they're violating a lot of constitutional freedoms and rights in the middle of all this, but they're way past that. They don't care. And as long as they're not challenged by the mass media and just a few of us out there, they're just going to keep rolling forward with this, unfortunately.
Yesterday at the White House, there was a press conference. Jen Psaki was outlining the role of the Biden administration in developing this vaccination passport. And here's what she said, and I quote, "There are a couple of key principles that we're working from. One is that there will be no centralized universal federal vaccination database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. Second, we want to encourage an open marketplace with a variety of private sector companies and nonprofit coalitions developing solutions," Psaki continued. "And third, we want to drive the market toward meeting public interest goals, so we'll leverage our resources to ensure that all vaccination credential systems meet key standards, whether that's universal accessibility, affordability, availability, both digitally and on paper." Very interesting. As she also said, Gary, that there is currently an interagency process that is looking at many of the questions around vaccine verifications. That issue will touch many agencies, as verification is an issue that will potentially touch many areas of society. That's guidance we'll provide. In essence, Gary, they're saying that the private sector is going to create this vaccination passport. The government is going to set the guidelines. Does that make you just feel safe and secure?
Yeah, they're in cahoots together, so you know, they can kind of blame it on private industry or say they're at the forefront, but they're all in one big cooperative, if you want to call it that, a cooperative. I try to avoid the word conspiracy. You can call it whatever you want, but they're collaborating, and it's one agenda with many players all pushing in the same direction. So, you know, she says it's not going to be mandatory, but they'll make things so difficult that if you don't come on board that for all practical purposes it is mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I believe it will be. But in the beginning they have to say that, or else a lot of people would back away from it, and because they would throw up a big red flag. And I'm sure we'll discuss Israel here in a little bit, but that's a huge disappointment. What's going on over there right now with the Israeli people. It's all but mandatory there, and they're kind of the ones out front a few months ahead of us.
Yeah. Let's get right into that, Gary, because, I mean, I have seen the list of guidelines for Israel, and it is amazing. It's shocking to see to what length that they have taken this aspect of the vaccination in Israel.
That's right. And, in fact, I just came from a meeting with several experts from around the country, all sharing what's going on globally. And it's just disturbing. I can't believe that things have moved this far so quickly in Israel. And, you know, I don't want to judge anybody. Did Netanyahu know about this all along, or did he really think that he's going to help his people by having them be the first to be vaccinated? But what it boils down to is these Israeli Jews are the world's guinea pigs right now. They're involved in an experiment that nobody knows exactly how this is going to turn out. But the death rates are way up. The adverse reactions are way up. And one person shared, a friend of theirs arrived at the airport. This was just days ago. And he noticed that if you have receive the vaccine coming into Israel, you can go to the left, to a line, and then you're moved through rather quickly. If you have not yet received the vaccine, they put you in a line toward the right, and then you're supposed to receive the vaccine. If you're not willing to comply with that, then for 2,000 shekels, you can purchase a type of ankle bracelet, and you have to carry that with you where you go. And so it's a type of constant monitoring, tracking, and people in Israel who have resisted the vaccine, who are not taking it, socially and culturally, they're able to do very little. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a form of subtle persecution, actually not so subtle. And so where all of this is going, I'm wondering, because, you know, some of the Auschwitz survivors and the elderly people and the next generation, their children, are beginning to speak out about this and say, what in the world is going on here? We're not going to put up with this. So a number of videos have gone out in the last week or two from Israel by concerned citizens who are, you know, producing an outcry around the world now in the last few days. What's interesting here is I've got this document in front of me. It talks about a Tel Aviv-based law firm called Suchavolsky and Company that have taken up a case for a number of concerned citizens who are now suing the Israeli government. They're taking this before the International Criminal Court, stating that the mandatory vaccine laws are a violation of the Nuremberg Code. And of course, the government of Israel, the Ministry of Health, which is really behind all of this, they're saying it's not a mandatory vaccine. But they're making life so difficult for people who don't take it that really it is.
I'm going to continue, but I mean, yes, you don't have to take it, but no, you won't have any mode of transportation. No, you won't be allowed into these stores. No, you won't be able to do this. No, you won't be able to do that, but you don't have to take the vaccine.
Yeah, exactly. The complaint has now been accepted by the International Criminal Court and will be considered, and I don't put a whole lot of confidence in them, but, you know, at least this is getting attention. That's the important thing here. The Nuremberg Code, by the way, was written after Nazi doctors were put on trial for, of course, performing their medical experiments on concentration camp prisoners. And it stipulates that it is unethical to force or coerce a person to take part in medical experiments. And so this is the approach that this Jewish group is taking now with the Ministry of Health in Israel. They said they're fed up with being the world's lab and being test experiments on this. They talk about the country's green passport system and the way this is being rolled out. They're describing it as the onset of a second Holocaust. So this is getting attention. I'll be keeping a close eye on it. And again, they're a few months out ahead of us. So if you see what's going on in Israel and also in the UK as of yesterday, it gives us an idea of what the same forces are going to try to bring about in this country in the near future.
Okay, so Gary, bring us up to speed. What happened in the UK yesterday?
Well, it is now officially an offense to leave England. Starting yesterday, March 29th, anyone who leaves England must submit papers making a certified declaration of their reason for leaving.
I'm going to have you pause right there, folks. We're up against a break. Gary Kav from Hope for the World is with us here today on Crosstalk. We're talking about these vaccination passports, and folks, the claws, the grips are beginning to squeeze, and they're beginning to tighten. You see what's going on in Israel. Gary's showing now what's taking place in England, in the UK. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what are comets made of?
Chris, comets are sometimes referred to as dirty snowballs. They're mainly ice, but with a lot of solid particles mixed in. As a comet goes around the sun, the solar heat and solar wind vaporize part of the comet, and we see the tail as those particles are stripped away. Now we find that sometimes not only is the tail stripped away, but sometimes the head is lopped off, speeding up the comet's disintegration. Obviously, comets can't last too long. Thus, they are a strong sign of a recently created universe. The Bible refers to these comets as wandering stars that don't follow the standard motion of the stars or the planets. They were created on day 4 of creation week, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Show me your passport. Is that what you're soon going to hear as you enter the doors of your grocery store, or you want to get some gas, or you want to take a trip across the country, or the toll booth, whatever it may be? Gary Kaas with us today. We're talking about vaccination passports, and the clamping down is taking place in Israel. And Gary, what you said, breaking news overnight as to what is going on in England. So, again, fill us in as to what's taking place.
Yeah, starting yesterday, anyone who leaves England has to submit special papers making what they're calling a certified declaration of their reason for leaving. The government has put out a list of 14 valid excuses. One of them is travel if you're on a professional sports team. But if you want to attend a religious event or convention in another country, you can just about forget that. There are certain things that are off limits, certain things that are okay as long as you submit your papers. But if you violate this travel restriction, the fine is 5,000 British pounds, which is nearly $7,000. So they're not messing around. This isn't a little, you know, slap on the wrist. It's a major penalty that people have to pay. And, the crazy thing about this is 95%, over 95% now of Brits over the age of 60 have been vaccinated, but yet they're not allowed to travel unless they fit into one of these categories. And so, you know, for months, the carrot has been dangled out there. If you take the vaccine, things are going to return back to normal. We're being told the same thing here by the Biden administration, but that's not the case. Once people take the vaccine, like I said, 95% of 60 and over in England have it, but that's not going to give them more favorable treatment in traveling, at least not right now. So this is really draconian stuff. Also, a little bit of irony here, dark irony. The British government says that they are able to do this because the authority was granted to them under a law called the Public Health Act, which happened to be passed in 1984. So it's Orwell's 1984 literally coming to pass in England right now. We have friends over there, and they're just sickened by what's going on.
Gary, at the same time, we talked about this, and that was, you know, the silver lining in the cloud. Take the vaccine, and you're going to be protected. You're going to be protected. But then you said, well, you still must mask. You still must have social distancing. And then they come up with new guidelines. It's okay to be with other vaccinated people. And it is just one thing one day, another thing another day. The information does not really concur with other parts. And now we have a writer here, a columnist for Bloomberg, Andreas Klug, who is writing that she's talking about we must start planning for a permanent pandemic, and cited the emergence of, you know, of all these supposedly deadly new variants that we keep hearing about, and saying we just have to get, you know, ready. This is going to be a permanent pandemic, you know, say goodbye to normal.
That's right. And they cite a study conducted in South Africa published by a vaccine maker, Novavax, that claimed that those with COVID-19 immunity could have no protection from many of these new variants. And so, they're building the case for a permanent type of ongoing vaccination program worldwide.
Is fear
going to make a lot of money for several pharmaceutical companies, and it's going to limit our travel freedoms and just about everything else we want to do if these people have their way. One thing they're saying is that some of the shots available today are still somewhat effective against some of the new variants. But to be sure, you have to have these new up-and-coming vaccines. So they're already looking 2 and 3 years ahead.
Gary, is fear all a part of this?
Definitely. And in fact, the article I just posted that we printed was COVID advice, don't act out of fear. So many people we know, especially the elderly, are acting out of fear. They're completely buying into this. They think the only way they can stay healthy is if, is if they take this vaccine. But then many of them are getting very sick within the first few days, and all kinds of reports of numbness of the limbs, at least for a period of time, and illness. And there are also unreported deaths. And don't count on the mass media to tell us about that.
No.
Israel's the furthest along, and the death rate has really soared over there, and you're just not hearing about it. But the real danger, I believe, from what several very knowledgeable doctors are saying who've studied this, is that the greater danger is about 4 months to a year and a half out. As new strains develop, those people who have taken these vaccines are going to be more vulnerable to the newer strains. And so a higher percentage of them will become ill and have adverse reactions. And I'm not saying that a majority of people are going to die after taking these vaccines, but if these vaccines were looked at in the same way that other vaccines have been looked at over the last several decades, there's no comparison. The adverse effects from the COVID vaccines, for example, are way higher than reactions to the flu shot, just as one example. But again, they're just sweeping this all under the table because it doesn't fit their narrative. You don't want to hear anything bad about these vaccines. They just want to drive people drugstores, doctor's offices, wherever they can get these vaccines. They want to get it done by the end of May if they can. I have a feeling, Jim, they're going to be left with quite a few vaccines because everything I'm hearing, I mean, I'd say at least 20-30% of the U.S. population as of right now, maybe more, are at this time not planning to get it. I think some of those people will cave in as restrictions begin to mount on mm-hmm. those people who don't have it. But I think we're actually going to have a lot of extra vaccines sitting there for a while.
You know, what's interesting in all of this, and folks, keep in mind that there is coming a mark that is going to be taking place, and I don't laugh of it hysterically. It's just the irony of what we've seen take place today, folks, where this is all heading. And one will not be able to buy, one will not be able to sell, one will not be able to get medical care without this upcoming identifying mark. Gary, what's interesting, and I'm not saying that is this vaccine, I'm not saying that at all, but certainly... we are seeing this as, in my opinion, a dress rehearsal of things to come. Gary, I was on America's Frontline Doctors website here earlier today, and they had speak to them the former Pfizer Vice President and Chief Science Officer, Dr. Mike Yadin, about his views on the COVID-19. I'm going to read about three statements. He said at the outset, Dr. Yadin said, "I'm well aware of the global crimes against humanity being perpetrated against a large population or proportion of the world's population. I have absolutely no doubt that we are in the presence of evil, not a determination I've ever made before in a 40-year research career, and dangerous products. In no other era would it be wise to do what it is stated as the intention?" And then he said, in conclusion, he said, "It's my considered view that it's entirely possible that this will be used for massive scale depopulation."
Wow. And you know, he's just one of many doctors who are taking a stand now, but you're not hearing any of this in the mass media.
No, and he's a former vice president at Pfizer.
Yeah, and it'll be posted on YouTube, and within 2 to 3 days, it's down, Dr. Lee Merritt. We did everything we could to circulate her 30-minute interview she did with Alex Newman, and right as we published the article and it went to print, it was taken down. You can still get it, through other platforms. It's, mm-hmm. it's been reposted, but it's just a cat-and-mouse game now. And that tells you there's an agenda here. You know, you have the big tech companies doing everything they can through social media to squelch this message. And it's working to a large extent, but it's also making more and more people curious, like, why are they doing this? You know, there's an awful lot of propaganda in all of this, and they keep talking about the science. But when you do look at the science, that's when the flags go up, because it doesn't work as effectively as they say it does. And there are all these adverse side effects. And, you know, I have a great deal of respect for America's frontline doctors, I'm telling you. And I hope everybody knows how to get on their website. It's just americasfrontlinedoctors.com. And also another good website is stopmedicaldiscrimination.org. And that website is, if you are one who is being pressured by your employer to take the vaccine, that would be a good website to check out. But America's frontline doctors, they can get the therapeutics. I'm calling them therapeutics because they work after you have it, as well as if you take the medications the first few days. I'm talking about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, but especially if you take them in advance, it's very effective. And you can get those through America's frontline doctors. Very few doctors around the country, a very small percentage of them, will prescribe these medications because they're experiencing a top-down pressure from the medical establishment that is following the line of the World Health Organization. Jim, you know this. Back in October, both Audrey and I had COVID. I was down for 11 days, had three waves of it. My fever would go up and then come back down, go up, come back down, three times like that. Finally, I came out of it, but I contacted several doctors trying to get these medications and could not get them here in Indiana. I'm sure there are a few of them out there now, but if I got COVID again, I would immediately contact America's frontline doctors, and I would recommend that people listening to this program contact them to be able to plan ahead and have some on hand for your family if you do come down with COVID. Because think of all the lives that have been lost so far because of COVID. And the numbers, I do believe, are inflated. But still, there are quite a few people who have died as a result of COVID. And there were treatments available that were being denied them by the medical establishment. And so somebody up there in this hierarchy has blood on their hands, because there are people who have died totally unnecessarily because this doesn't fit the global narrative. They want us all to think we have to get this vaccine. That's the only solution to it. Never mind any medications out there that work. And it's just, it's sickening is what it is.
Gary Cobb with us here today on Crosstalk. And Gary, I know while you're giving out websites, you also have information on your website, some of the columns that you've written, as well as links to a number of the frontline doctors and articles on these critical issues.
That's right. You can go to garycobb.org. And the most recent article I posted was COVID Advice, Don't Act Out of Fear. And like I said, we have links to four different doctors who've been speaking out on this. We also have a link to an investigative report that has been done. It is absolutely outstanding. It's called Will the FBI Investigate China COVID Collusion? And this is about a 40-page report, totally footnoted, excellently documented, that ties China into every step of this COVID narrative from the very beginning. It just overwhelmed me when I read it. I knew that China was involved in all of this, but literally every step China's been involved. Mm-hmm. This was put together by top attorneys, some people from the military, from the medical community, from five different countries. And they're now trying to get the attention of the FBI to investigate this. The best report I've seen, and we give the link to it there. It's too long to give out right now in the program, but people can click on that and take a look at that. Very important information.
And they'll find that on your website?
Yes.
GaryKah.org. That's Ka is spelled K-A-H. GaryKah.org. Well, friends, wow, the clock has moving very quickly here. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with some more breaking information here with Gary Cobb. And matter of fact, folks, in this next segment as well, we're going to tell you about this new palm reader. That's right, to use the palm of your hand to buy and to purchase your products and get it what you need. We'll tell you more about that as well in this next segment, and we're going to delve into a little bit more about China as well. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Skeptics and critics understand the magnitude of the resurrection. They have developed numerous theories in their desperate attempts to explain away the wealth of evidence. Early Christians consistently emphasized Christ's conquering of death. Yet many in the church today only discuss this vital doctrine at Easter time, and some fail to mention it entirely when attempting to share the gospel with unbelievers. In the book, In Defense of Easter, author Tim Chafee has written a biblical apologetic that teaches readers how history supports the resurrection, why skeptical explanations come up short, and how the resurrection is a source of comfort. This book clearly affirms the power of the resurrection and why remembering the resurrection is not limited to a single day on the calendar. In Defense of Easter is available for a donation of $13 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Vaccination passports are a topic today. Gary Kah is our guest from Hope for the World. Again, his website, Gary Kah, that's K-A-H, GaryKah.org. Gary, you mentioned China. And China they have been at the forefront. They've got more cameras per square inch in that nation than any nation here on Earth. But they're saying, look to us, you know, we'll give you the surveillance and the guidance that the world needs as far as tracking COVID. I mean, they very much want to be a player in all of this.
Well, and they are, and they control the top two people in the World Health Organization. And that's the problem, because this is coming straight down from the WHO, which is working in very close cooperation with many of your wealthiest people in the world, including Bill Gates, who are pushing this. And so you've got the economic side, you've got the political side, you've got China involved in this. The UN totally, of course, the leadership of New York under Cuomo. It's almost unbelievable. Some mornings you wake up and you had a normal night's sleep, you know, and you're looking forward to the day, and you turn on the news and the first story is just one more step in this direction. And yeah, it reminds you all over again how very real this is. And China, every single step in this narrative as it has unfolded, Jim, has lined up with what China said should be done.
Yeah, and folks,
the distancing, the masks, everything. And I didn't realize, I knew China was involved, like I said before the break, but to go through this investigative report that has been done, excellently done, every single step has come from China, and the UN and the World Health Organization, just they drive the narrative, and Fauci and the others have jumped right in and are moving it along.
Well, Fauci, that's another topic in itself. We get one message one day, another message another day.
Right.
Last fall, Gary, I see here from ZDNet that IBM's Watson Health launched the IBM Digital Health Pass app, and that they talked about this launching a digital blockchain app so individuals can prevent verifiable health status such as COVID-19 test results to gain access to public locations, store, manage, share health status from mobile devices. You've got a lot of corporate companies that are getting involved in this. They all want to be major players in this process.
Yeah, those who are out in front on this stand to make a lot of money. But, you know, in a way, I mean, they're ruining their own world. They're going to have to live in this world, too. I mean, what they are producing, ultimately, it's going to implode. I mean, this thing is being satanically driven. This is a spiritual battle, a clash of two world views, and we know how it's, you know, going to result. And fortunately, at the end, we know that the Lord will return and put a stop to this. And thank the Lord for His truth and the scripture that we have, and we know how it's all going to end. But between now and then, there are some hard times coming, and we've been warned about it in scripture. And Jesus in Matthew 24, really, it was a message to the church, as I see it, spoke about deception coming, and even deception in the name of Christ, and you know, where people are claiming to be a Christian, but either just give poor advice or deliberately false advice to lead people along in a dangerous direction. So we have to be aware of that. We see pastors now all over the country coming out, speaking out in favor of taking the vaccine, and it's like, where are they living? Are they not looking at any of this evidence coming out from these doctors warning against the vaccine? It's just they're lining right up with the major networks in the UN. And so I think we're going to see more and more true colors of people in the months ahead. And I'm not saying that, I mean, there is some room for naivety. Some people just, you know, they don't take the time to research this properly, and they're coming to certain conclusions based on just what they're hearing. But others, I mean, they're really acting and speaking as if they're part of this agenda, and that really concerns me, because more and more Christians are in the mix on that, unfortunately.
And folks, I want you to understand, too, that the technology is not stopping there. I mean, we're shocked to see this new Amazon One that's been developed, a palm reader. Meet Amazon One, the fast, convenient, contactless identity service that uses your palm. Just hover to enter, identify, and pay. An easier way to pay for your favorite things in seconds using your palm, and simplify your shopping experience. Breeze through your day. You move through checkouts and entry gates faster than ever. Anytime, anywhere, our goal is to unlock your world by giving you the freedom to pay, enter, and identify with nothing but your palm. All you need is a credit card, your mobile number, and of course your palm to get signed up for this. Hover over the scanner there, identify yourself, and pay. Once you're signed up, you can use your palm to enter, identify, and pay where Amazon One is available. You're in control. There's no two palms that are alike. Truly contactless interaction. They say your palm made up of tiny distinct features on and before the surface, many that are indiscernible to the human eye or standard camera, but they've got this Amazon One device to read them. In seconds, the process of proprietary imaging and computer vision algorithms capture and encrypt your palm image. Gary, this is we're seeing this the next development. This palm reader, you don't have to worry about getting COVID by touching some screen or getting out a card. Just hover your palm in midair over the scanner. You're all taken care of.
Yeah, and it's all in the name of suppressing this COVID pandemic, you know, because anything you touch is contaminated. I mean, this is what the World Health Organization is putting out. So we've got to get rid of cash, ultimately credit cards, and so everything is moving toward contactless point of sales. And there's even a program called World Beyond Cash that ties into all this. You've got MasterCard involved, Gavi, the Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunizations, largely funded by the Gates Foundations and the Rockefeller Foundations. It's all coming together. Like I said earlier on, it's the digital identity system, vaccination records, and a payment system all in one. And you remember last year, about a year ago, Jim, we did a program together on COVID-19, a global conditioning.
Yes, yes.
Where I connected some of these dots early on about, you know, you follow the money trail and it tells you a lot. And in every one of these areas, you've got the Gates Foundation involved, and a lot of it, the Rockefeller Foundation as well. And these people have been globalists for years and years. And in the case of the Gates family, they've been all about eugenics. And so, you know, again, a sad irony here is that Gates is wanting to push this vaccine on all the people of the world, but do we trust someone who's given money toward eugenics, you know, and who has made drastic statements, I mean, ridiculous statements about the need for depopulation on the earth, and even giving out percentages and so forth. So that alone would be enough reason for me not, you know, not to take one of these vaccines, just realizing that Gates is funding so much of this.
Gary, I like to hit another issue, run another issue by you here, and that is information you found on the Moderna website as it relates to calling this vaccination an operating system?
That's correct. If it's still up there, I ran it off, so I have a hard copy here in front of me, and under one of the subheadings, it says, our operating system, and it's regarding their mRNA platform, and I quote, it says, recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. In our case, the program, or app, is our mRNA drug, the unique mRNA sequence that codes for a protein, end quote. In other words, once you have this vaccine, they can build on it and program it and do things with it down the road. This is just one of the many things that makes these new, I don't even want to call them vaccines because they're really not, gene therapies different from anything else that we've seen before. and any previous vaccines. I personally believe, this is just my opinion now, I want to make that clear, but I believe the mark of the beast is going to be about more than just not being able to buy or sell. I really believe it's going to affect our DNA, and I believe that may be one reason why God is so adamant in the book of Revelation telling people not to take this mark and what the consequences would be if they take it. I believe it will change a person at their very core, who they are and how they think. And I've even had some people tell me over the years, well, why couldn't I take the mark if I'm not sure if it's the mark or not? I could always choose to have it taken out once it's in me. And personally, I think once a person takes the mark, they're not going to be able to make that decision to get rid of it. It's just there's so much going on now, tampering with you know, our genes and our DNA. And I don't know how much time we have left here, but can I share a story, something that happened to me back in the 90s, in the mid-90s, that ties in with all this?
Go ahead.
Okay. I met a gentleman up in Crown Point, Indiana. It was through a pastor friend up there, and this person had come to the States from Brazil. They were one of the world's leading engineers, very fluid in technology. They had several doctorate degrees, and they had worked with a number of universities around the world on cutting-edge technology involving DNA and that type of thing. But anyway, somebody gave him a copy of my book. He read it, and when he found out I lived in Indiana, he wanted to meet with me. So I drove up there. We met, and after some small talk and getting to know each other, he said, what do you think the mark of the beast is going to be? How's it going to function? And I said, well, honestly, I think it's going to be something that affects our DNA. And he fell back in his chair, looked at me, paused a moment, and he said, how did you know? And I said, well, I didn't know. It's just you know, a strong belief I have just from reading the Bible and doing some research and so forth. He said, that's exactly where this is all going. Now, he said this back in the 90s. Mm. They were working on technology that could manipulate our DNA and go to the very core of our being, and had actually isolated a gene that directly affects our spirituality, where it's believed that they can manipulate what a person believes, how radical they are in their beliefs, all that type of stuff. I'm not making this up. I mean, I wish I was. This is really happening. But I heard about this now in the last 2 or 3 years, that technology is there from other sources. But this gentleman shared this with me way back in the 90s, and to prove it, to make sure I understood he was telling the truth, he pulled out a document on the stationery of a major university, and he said, take a look at this. And it described this technology, and get this, it described this new development, invention, whatever you want to call it, this new discovery, I guess would be the best word, they decided to refer to this gene as the Luciferian gene. I saw this with my own eyes, or else I wouldn't believe it. It's a major university. Everyone would recognize the name of it if I told you. So this is an agenda that has been worked on for years and years and years, but they have to condition people and figure out a way to get people to the point where they will be willing to receive a mark. And I believe the health part of it is going to be a major issue, because if they can tell people, you have to take this, because if not, you're going to be endangering the people around you. So I do believe this is, they're building on that with these vaccines. We're not to the mark of the beast yet, but things are rapidly heading in that direction.
Gary Kahn with us here today on Crosstalk. Folks, we've got just a brief time. We'll take some quick questions from you. 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Wisconsin is ground zero in a battle over the Constitution, so writes one author, and he's right. And what it's about? A constitutional convention, a con-con, or maybe they've come up with a new name to confuse people, an Article 5 convention. Call it what you want. It's dangerous. My friend, the late Phyllis Schlafly, well, I interviewed her many times about the dangers of a constitutional convention. The so-called conservatives or neocons pushing this, and there are many of them, they think that they can open up the Constitution and put in the amendments they want and stop the progressives and Marxists and globalists from adding on to the Constitution. That's absolutely 100% wrong. And folks, you'd be shocked at who's promoting this idea. Well, in Wisconsin, it's Senate Joint Resolution 8 and Assembly Joint Resolution 9. Maybe you want to let your elected officials in Wisconsin know. No. All they got to do is get a number of states to agree to this, and we've got a constitutional convention, and they can destroy the Constitution.
Today's one of those days I could use a couple extra hours here talking with our guests, but we're going to go right to the phone lines. Now, Brian is calling from Cambridge, Minnesota. You're on the air with Gary Kah.
Gary, I just have a question. What do you think about Franklin Graham encouraging the Christians to get vaccinated? If this really isn't a vaccine and it's from Satan, what's your thought on that?
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed by that. I have really looked up to Franklin Graham for many reasons, and he's taken a strong stand on a lot of things over the years, and I hope that it's just a case of him not being fully informed regarding these developments. But I mean, the warnings are all over the place. You know, even Dr. Harvey Risch, who's the top epidemiologist at Yale School of Public Health, he came out early on talking about these things and saying, look, there are essentially cures out there that can stop this so-called pandemic. He was talking about hydroxychloroquine at that time. And there are many other doctors like that. So the evidence is out there. So that then makes you wonder, is something else going on? Is somebody putting pressure on him and others who've come out recently? I don't know. Only God knows. But I do hope if he listens to this program or another one that he would change his mind. And until he is thoroughly researched on this, at least be neutral on it. But to actually be out there promoting it, that's uncalled for.
Thank you, Brian, for the call. Sue is calling from Blaine, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. But my question is, Gary or you, Jim, we are bound by the hand of God. We, as believers, cannot be lost. Mm-hmm. So this technology to change our spiritual feelings, our beings, or whatever, how can that be if we belong to God? And could this be something that they'll use for unbelievers to deceive them even more?
Okay, thank you, Sue.
That's a million-dollar question. That's a big one, because you're right. But, I mean, we have to, I just go back to Scripture. When you look at Revelation chapter 13 and 14, the warning is strict and without exceptions. And for God to make that type of a strong warning, there has to be a good reason for it, that it goes to the very core of our spiritual being. I don't know. You know, you read Genesis chapter 6, and you see what happened before the flood. The last thing that happened, of course, was the Nephilim, and then the next thing you know, God sent the flood and destroyed the world because these beings had violated God's order of things, so he started from scratch after the war. And DNA is so important to God because he created us with a certain DNA, mm-hmm. the way we are supposed to be. And now that humans are crossing these lines with mm-hmm. their experimentation and doing things, manipulating DNA, is completely unacceptable. And I don't believe God is going to wait too much longer before he intervenes and does something. It's just, to me, it's just one more sign of the times that we are living in the last of the last days.
Gary, just for a point of clarification, are you saying that the COVID vaccination has this mind-altering stuff inside it, or that is under development under other vaccines that are being experimented with?
I'm not saying the current COVID vaccine has that in there, but based on the Moderna website, what I read, they mm-hmm. are putting an operating system in us through these vaccines that can be built upon and expanded. Mm-hmm. And so my concern is if people take these vaccines and then go on and take other ones down the road, this could be a lead up, in other words, to the actual mark of the beast. I do believe they're going to use the excuse of the whole health argument, mm-hmm. like I said. So you're going to have the economic side of things, not being able to buy or sell, tied in with the health argument of the mark of the beast. I really believe that.
Thank you, Sue.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Kevin is next in South Dakota. You're on the air.
Yes, gentlemen, thank you, Gary and Jim, for your program and just for the facts and the truth and just what you're coming forth with here. I just want to say he who controls the information controls the outcome. And we see that ringing more true all the time as we're being guided and directed as sheep into these alleys of direction here in our fears. And I just want to say, you know, we look through the scripture from Old Testament to now, how fear was such a great force in people's lives, whether it was the 10 spies going into the country and coming back to, we can't take it. But you look back through what fear has done. And so God is driving us in down that same path, but we're either going to be driven to him in faith or we're going to be driven away from him in fear. And I'm just saying that thank you for your program. You're challenging us to not an intellectual, but a spiritual decision on what we're reacting to. And that's what it's coming down to, is God is driving us to him. And so nothing has changed over the thousands of years. But thank you for, I'm sure you're catching plenty of feedback, and well, that's saying it lightly, Gary. So just thank you for your information, and Jim, for your program.
You. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. And you know, a good passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And boy, if there's ever time to remember that, it's right now. We've got to remember that ultimately the most important thing is where we're going to spend eternity. And I think, you know, God is allowing these things to happen because we're having to ask the deeper questions now, and we see the clock ticking and time running out, and who knows what's going to happen in this world. But what's important is we're going to be with the Lord for all eternity if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and his blood has paid the penalty for our sins, and that's what it's all about. And I just thank the Lord that my afterlife is in his hands and is secure, so that no matter what happens to me, what happens to anyone speaking out on this in the days ahead, you know, we may face persecution. But again, that's nothing new. Christians have throughout the ages, and so we need to be prepared for that while keeping our sights set on Jesus our Lord.
Friends, we're less than 50 seconds away, so I'm not able to take any more phone calls. I apologize for that. But Gary, I just want to bring conclusion with this word of hope, because you represent a ministry called Hope for the World, and one of the messages I know that you have clearly driven home in your presentations is the importance of people getting into the Word of God. That's where our comfort, our strength, our encouragement, our hope lies, in Christ through his Word as well.
That's right, and thank the Lord for the Bible that he's given to us with all the prophecies that have been true in the past. You know, everything has happened just the way the Bible foretold regarding Jesus' first coming, so why would it be any different the second time around? The Bible has such amazing credibility, and everything is going to unfold exactly how it says, and we've been forewarned in the church, so get ready.
GaryKah.org is a website, folks. You can check out several of his columns there. He's got a number of links there, GaryKah.org. Gary, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
And stay on the line here for a moment, if you would. And friends, you've gained information today here on the program. The link will be on our site in just a couple of hours. Why don't you share it with others or contact us regarding getting a CD of today's program. Thanks for listening. God's in control.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.